Look, on the ground, running, it's a man with a T on his face. It's Mr. Terrific.
That's right, because your Geek History lesson on Michael Holt, Mr. Terrific, is now in session. And welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Not-So-Terrific Inman. Welcome to your mind university, because this is the podcast Geek History Lesson, where we take you through one character or construct of pop culture and teach you all about them in 1 hour. And today, we have a guy from a show where a guy wears a hood, and this guy plays on the computers for him. Who is that, Ashley?
Mr. Terrific!
You need to say that louder with, like, more enthusiasm.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to go away from my mic. Mr. Terrific!
Yep.
How's that?
Cool.
Better?
Michael Holt or Curtis Holt, depending on what continuity you're in.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a big part of Arrow Season 5. He's going to put a big T, going to slap a T on his face.
He's going to become a full-time cast member.
Yeah. And he's going to be pretty nifty and cool. And I'm not just saying that because I've met him in person. But let's hop right into the beginning of this podcast, into the 10 Cent Origin, the beginning section of our podcast, where we tell you all the clip note versions of Mr. Terrific that you need to know in case you meet Mr. Terrific, Echo Kellum, who plays him on Arrow, and you can be like, hey, Echo Kellum, hey, you're very tall, but also I know all this stuff about your character. And I learned a Geek History lesson.
Let's be friends.
Go.
So your 10 Cent origin is that he is, of course, a DC Comics character. And we are talking today about the second Mr. Terrific, Michael Holt, and the much better known African-American Mr. Terrific, a.k.a. White King, a.k.a. White King's Bishop. More on that later. He was created by John Ostrander, who you may remember from Suicide Squad fame, and Tom Mandrake, and first appeared in Spectre Volume 3, Number 54, in June of 1997. Another little baby comic book character.
Yep.
And his team affiliations have been the Justice Society of America and Checkmate. And his abilities include, strap in, they're lengthy, a genius-level intellect, an Olympic-level athlete, a master martial artist, being undetectable to all modern technologies, extensive nanotechnology in his mask and costume that provides sensory, communications, and database retrieval functions, T-spheres that function as a computer, holographic projection unit, projectile weapons, and numerous other uses.
Yep, he's really smart.
He's really smart, and he has these little silvery ball things.
Yep.
And he is currently played by Echo Kellum on the CW's Arrow television show, as Jason mentioned at the top of this lesson.
Yep, let's move straight into the meet cute, which is a term that we stole from romantic comedies, where we're going to introduce where we meet the characters and how cute it was.
Yes. Unsurprisingly, the first place that I ever met Mr. Terrific was when he joined the JSA. And obviously his profile went up a lot when he joined that team, and even more when he joined the cast of Arrow. But I loved the JSA, and he's a part of that run that I love. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. Jason, where did you first meet the Terrific, Mr. Terrific?
I first met him in a story called Identity Crisis.
Ooh.
Where this character, the wife of Elongated Man Ralph Dibny, his wife gets killed,
mm-hmm.
and they have an autopsy on her.
Mm-hmm.
And the autopsy is performed by Mr. Terrific and Dr. Midnight, members of the JSA. At the time, I had no idea who Mr. Terrific was. I later read the entire JSA series, and I later bought an action figure of him.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. That is super cool.
Yep, there you go. And
like
after that, it's time to move into History 101, the main meat of the lesson, where Ashley's going to teach you all about Mr. Terrific.
Right. So, a couple notes before we start. This one is kind of a publication note. As with many characters of color that have been introduced post about 1980, Michael Holt was originally created solely for the purpose of bringing some diversity into the DC universe. But that is okay, because he's actually a totally cool character.
Yep.
It is way more interesting than the original Mr. Terrific, who's fun in kind of a golden age silly way.
It's also interesting, too, because this Mr. Terrific is a member of the new JSA, which we literally just talked about last week.
Yes, we did. So if you need a brush up, we have your back. And another note, the Mr. terrific. When he shows up, this Michael Holt character, he's basically a full-formed hero. You see his origin and that's it. So I've put together his character history into a linear timeline for you to highlight his evolution as a character and his emotional journey. Most of this information comes out in conversations from the JSA series that we talked so much about lately, especially. So I'm just trying to make this lesson as easily digestible as possible for you. So there. Let's jump right into Michael Holt's character history. Now, at a very young age, he showed remarkable intelligence, reading and assimilating the works of Bohr, Einstein, Planck, and Feynman, the pantheon of theoretical physics, all by the age of 6. Now, if you know Niels Bohr diagrams, you know E equals MC squared, that was like, you know, what he did for super fun happy times as a little kid. He studied advanced science, space, and time while other children struggled through Sesame Street. And that is a direct quote that he says, which is a little bit insulting, but an apt metaphor, I think, nonetheless.
So instead of one, two, he was like, neutrinos,
string theory,
exactly. Time dilation,
He was like, how many atoms are there?
No, he was actually like, the count can't exist, scientific fact.
That's
Mom.
That's a puppet.
Yeah, that's a puppet.
He was the kid who ruined Sesame Street for the rest of us, is basically.
Grover, not real.
Super Grover, especially not real. But Superman, I don't care, Mom. Michael grew up with a mentally challenged older brother named Jeffrey, whom he loved dearly because he was a good brother. When Jeffrey tragically died at the age of 15, Michael was devastated, and this heralded one of many tragic familial losses that would cover his life before he became Mr. Terrific. Michael Holt, kind of a sad character.
Yep.
He went on to display a natural aptitude for having natural aptitudes, as he calls it. He likes to talk about himself and talk about how great he is a lot.
He's pretty nifty.
He is. Easily picking up and retaining complex skills and ability that other men spent their entire lives perfecting. He's like that kid in elementary school who's good at everything and never struggles, and you kind of hate a little bit. And before he began his career...
That was me.
Hey, that was me too. And then before he began his career as a superhero, he already possessed 14 PhDs, 2 in engineering and physics, including doctorates and master's degrees in law, psychology, chemistry, political science, and mathematics.
That's just showing off.
Oh my God, yeah. No English, I notice, or theater. And was a self-made multimillionaire with a high-tech firm called Cyberware, because that sounds cool, and yeah. 90s, which he subsequently sold to Wayne Tech, and is a gold medal-winning Olympic decathlete.
Yep.
Now, pause. A decathlon, for those of you who don't know, is the hardest thing that you can do in the Olympics. It is the hardest medal to win. It requires the most amount of skill. So I just want to talk about that a little bit because it's really incredible. It's a 2-day-long competition broken down as follows. On day one, there's a 100-meter race, long jump, shot put, high jump, and a 400-meter race. On day two, there's 110-meter hurdles, discus throw, pole vault, javelin throw, and a 1,500-meter race. So you basically already have to be a superhero in order to be a decathlete. And he's like 25 and has a gold medal. So he's the best decathlete. Well, he's the best superhero.
It's also basically doing the entirety of the Olympics, the Summer Olympics almost.
You're doing all the track and field events.
Yep. And also, the interesting thing about it is it has been said several times that if Batman had not become a superhero, his training would have allowed him to become a decathlete.
Yeah, an amazing decathlete. But Michael Holt actually did it.
Yeah, so eat it, Batman.
So take that, Bruce Wayne. So in a lot of ways, I think that you can see that Michael Holt is influenced by characters like Ted Kord, but with the drive and success level of Bruce Wayne, because Bruce Wayne is kind of like the richest dude in the DC universe. So welcome once again to the superhero trope of independent wealth beyond your wildest dreams.
That's the greatest superpower ever.
God, don't I wish I had it. Later on, the accidental deaths of his wife and unborn child are a devastating blow to Michael in his adult life. He considers himself responsible for the accident as he made his wife late for church by arguing with her about the value of religion. This particular story point is really important, and religion and Michael's specific religious beliefs and how devout he is are a cornerstone of who Mr. Terrific is and why he makes a lot of decisions that he does throughout his career and his life as both a man and a superhero. Fun fact, you can scour the internet for a lot of really well put together essays on like Mr. Terrific and religion. That are just like fan published that are totally worth checking out if you have time to go down that rabbit hole.
You know, that aspect of his character is also a prevalent storyline in the JSA series.
It is.
Yep.
Because, you know, religion and superheroes don't tend to cross over that much unless they're characters that are in some way imbued by the church.
Yes. And that's why it's an important part of JSA, because the Spectre is a founding member of the Justice Society. The Spectre, the wrath of God himself,
yeah.
Physical proof that God exists, and Michael Holt still is an atheist.
Yeah, yeah. That at least, like, this particular version of God exists. You have to respect his convictions, though. You really do. So while contemplating suicide, he is met by the Spectre during his very first comics appearances, who tells him about Terry Sloan. Now, who is Terry Sloan? Well, I'm so glad that you asked, Jason. Terry Sloan is actually the Golden Age superhero known as
Mr.
Terrific, with a really awesomely silly costume.
Yep. It is ridiculous.
In a great way, though.
Yep.
He is inspired by Sloan's life stories and the struggles he overcomes, and immediately decides to take up the name of Mr. Terrific, only later deciding to join the current Justice Society of America, which was being published in the JSA title at the time, because it's cool in 90s that way. And eventually,
we don't say full words, acronyms only.
Jilla. So it was cool, I promise. Eventually going on to serve as its chairman. More on that later. During his initial appearance, he wears ordinary clothes and a leather jacket because it's cool, with Terry Sloan's Fair Play emblem on the back of it. Initially, that was his only tie back to the original Mr. Terrific's costume design. Beyond, obviously, the name. It's something that's dropped pretty soon, although Mr. Terrific does tend to wear a costume that does recall street clothes. He often has a leather jacket, but the T comes a little bit later. And I actually really like the T, even though it's a little
I like his costume, actually, with the red and the white and the black. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah? Is it just because those are your favorite colors?
No.
Well, there you go. He then wears a T-shaped mask composed of electronic nanites, a black and white costume with red trim that we were just talking about, and a collarless jacket of the same colors. And on the jacket, the black sections of the tunic and the jacket are form a T for Terrific, with Fair Play written on the sleeves and Terrific written across the back. So it's cool and edgy. It really is a cool costume.
It's a good looking costume.
Michael Holt, Mr. Terrific, is one of the only comic book characters who all of his costumes are pretty cool. He doesn't really ever have a bad costume.
And it's not that silly that he has like I wanted to say a logo, but it's more like a motto on his arm.
yeah. I mean, it is silly, but it's not because especially if you go back and read the Spectre issue, it's really powerful, and I recommend picking it up. The idea of fair play, because he doesn't feel like he's had a fair shot at life, and that his brother had a fair shot and that his wife had a fair shot. That really defines what he's all about. And he's often in the JSA when they take on more of a mentor role. He's called on in order to moderate and to teach some of the younger, more fiery characters like, hey, this is what fair play is. So, yeah. Yeah, it's silly, but for a superhero, it's one of the less silly things, I think, that happens. And I don't even think that the tea mask is really silly, because it actually looks really cool. It just looks like a natural progression of a domino mask.
I mean, it looks cool. The only thing you have to ask is, like, how does it come on or off?
They're nanites.
I know, it dissolves, basically.
You get some pawns, and it's all fine. For a time, he acts as the spokesperson for Tyler Co. and consults for the company on industrial espionage and security matters in exchange for helping fund a youth center that Mr. Terrific has started. He's very into helping young people, which makes him a natural addition to the JSA. Now, Jason, do you know what Tyler Co. is?
Yes, it is the company that was founded by our man, Rex Tyler.
Yes, it is. Our man, of course, being an important part of the JSA in his mm-hmm. own right. Because Rex Tyler Dew is independently wealthy.
Yep.
Over the course of me working on this lesson, I learned a lot of, I mean, you know that they're all like independently wealthy.
A lot
wealthy.
Of Golden Age heroes were independently wealthy.
But it really kind of like smacked me across the face a little bit of like, wow, like they all just have a gazillion dollars and that's what it takes to be a superhero.
That's right.
Michael Holt also has a friendly rivalry with Batman, as friendly a rivalry as one can have with the Dark Knight, his opposite number in the Justice League of America. And fun fact, in his identity as Bruce Wayne, Batman owns Mr. Terrific's business.
Yeah.
It's a Wayne Tech subsidy. And I just kind of want to stop here and talk a little bit about the idea of opposite numbers. And a lot of people might not realize that the Justice League and the Justice Society are often structured to reflect each other. Now, this is partially based on the fact that the JLA is derivative of the JSA and that at their core they serve the same purpose. But there is an incontinuity reason often given for this. And the reason is that if a member of one team dies, they'll have an instant replacement from the other team if needed. And I just think that's really
cool. I've never heard that before. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's only mentioned like twice.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it ever actually gets activated, even though members from both teams die. But I like the idea that like the JLA and the JSA got together and they're like, hey, so you're you and I'm Wonder Woman and you're Batman and all right, we're good.
Yeah.
And like that they might recruit based on the fact that like, oh, you got a Red Arrow. Well, like we need a purple
we need a
bow.
Ma Hunkle.
Yeah, like they need to have, again, it's not something that is really tread on that much because the JSA and the JLA like often have really different types of adventures and they serve different functionalities in the universe, but I just think that's a cool idea. So
it is cool.
Mr. Terrific's basically Batman.
Yeah. The tactician of the team.
Yes, yes, yes. You're a smart guy. And fun fact, Michael Holt encountered Terry Sloane, the original Mr. Terrific, not once, but twice through the magic of time travel. Yeah, in comics. With Sloane expressing pride at having so worthy a successor. So kind of like when Miles gets to talk to Peter, Michael Holt gets a blessing, to bring up a religious term.
We mentioned that storyline a little bit last week when we talked about Perdegaton going back in time and creating the Joseph McCarthy movement against the JSA. It was mm-hmm. in that storyline.
There you go, if it helps you in the timeline. Michael Holt has also been noted as the most intelligent member in JSA in their entire history, surpassing his predecessor who had previously held that mantle. So, you know, if you don't know by now, he's a pretty smart dude. And then in Infinite Crisis number 5, he is stated to be the third smartest person in the world. And this notion now appears widespread in the DC universe. Often when he's introduced, and you know how their little like logo will come up? It'll be like, Mr. Terrific, the third smartest person in the world.
Yeah. I always thought that graphic was weird.
You don't think it's funny?
I don't know. It's kind of like, well, I'm the third best loser.
Oh, that's,
you know,
are you one of those people who was like second is the first to lose? Come on.
Well, I don't know. I just thought it was a weird way to classify your superhero. Now, are you going to talk about who 1 and 2 are?
I wasn't going to.
Well, because it has never really been confirmed.
It hasn't, but the common theory that I found, because I went look, I was like, what is this list?
Yeah.
I want to know who are the top 10 smartest people
in
the DC universe. Most people consider it to be Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Of course, that's arguable.
Yes.
Don't find me on Twitter about it. But yeah, so.
Yeah, most conceptions are that it's Batman number 1, Lex Luthor number 2.
Yeah, and then Mr. Terrific.
Although the interesting thing about it is that I think Batman is very smart, but I don't know if I would ever give Batman genius intellect.
I'm sure, but everyone has a genius level intellect, which basically, I mean, I found over doing the course of this podcast is code for we have to have them pull out random in-depth knowledge of something that they've never talked about before.
Yeah.
And like, that's the, like, they're all geniuses. Like, there's no stupid superhero.
Well, that is interesting. But here's the thing, like, I totally agree that Batman's really smart. And I totally agree that Batman knows a lot about stuff that he shouldn't know simply because he had to figure it out how to beat this villain.
So you think he's fixated and driven, but not a genius?
Yes, because I think that if you were to have them all take an IQ test, I bet you Michael Holt and Lex Luthor beat Batman on that score.
I'll agree with that. I think Ray Palmer might even beat him.
Ray Palmer would. Ted Kord would.
Yeah.
So would Dr. Who created the Metal Men? Help me out here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. That guy. but I don't think Batman, in terms of score, flat out IQ test, would beat these people.
Yeah. That's interesting.
He's very smart, but I don't think he's genius. Like, I don't think he's Stephen Hawking smart.
Mm-hmm. He is Dr. William Will Magnus.
Will Magnus. Yeah, I almost said T.O. Morrow, but I know that's a villain.
Oh, yeah, but also your doctor-y type.
He would be Batman on an IQ test.
Yeah, but I mean, that also proves that natural ability only counts for so much.
Okay.
So there you go. He is the third smartest person in the DC universe. So now we're going to focus a little bit on a key moment during his tenure as chairman of the JSA, because I want you to be able to understand what kind of a leader Mr. Terrific was.
Sure.
So in JSA number 27, during a conflict over leadership of the Justice Society between the former chairman, Hawkman, and the then current chairman, Sand, a Jason Inman favorite character, Terrific is elected as the JSA's new chairman by his teammates, despite having not actively sought out the office. For me, this just shows that he's not blindly ambitious like so many other characters in the DCU are. That's often why they're driven to become superheroes.
He takes it very reluctantly. He's just kind of like, I guess.
But he's willing to answer the call to leadership. He's willing to do what is asked of him, even if it's not what he wants to do. Mm. And I think that that's very interesting.
The other interesting thing about it is that if of that entire run of JSA, I think he's the best chairman.
Definitely.
I think he's the best leader of the team.
He is. If I was going to make my best JSA ever, I would probably choose him to be my leader.
Mm.
I think he's just a solid choice. But you, dear listeners, we are hoping that you are also willing to answer the call. The call to head on over to patreon.com/Jawin, JAWIIN, and help keep your T-spheres and your Mind University shiny and clean. If you go over there, you can get all kinds of cool stuff, like you can get Geek History Lesson a day early and drop all of this fabulous knowledge on all your friends at their cool cocktail parties. And you can even get a Geek History Lesson Extra podcast where we are diving deeper into Mr. Terrific today. So that is patreon.com/Jawin, JAWIIN. Thank you to all the Mr. and Mrs. Terrifics who are already patrons over there, and we hope that everyone will go and join their hallowed ranks. Thank you so much to everyone there.
Huzzah.
Thank you for that, Jason. More about
glad to help out.
More about Mr. Terrific. So we were talking about how he was the chairman of the JSA. So like Jason.
Hey, he was the chairman of the JSA. Did you know that, Ashley?
Hey, he totally was. He was like a really great one,
yep.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jason said, he didn't do that forever. But he served in this capacity until the team disbanded following the events of Infinite Crisis. Jason,
yep.
really quick, can you tell us as Mr. Terrific what Infinite Crisis is?
I'll tell you as a normal person.
All right.
Because I don't know what a Mr. Terrific impression is. Infinite Crisis is where Superboy Prime, a survivor of the Crisis on Infinite Earths, comes back with the Golden Age Superman and Alexander Luthor from Earth 3, I believe, and decides mm-hmm. to try to reset the multiverse to their liking. They lose. They get their crap beat out of them. But the multiverse is still reborn into 52 different worlds.
Yes. So during his time as leader, Mr. Terrific was noted as being a fair leader, and he was never voted out of this role or asked to step down by his fellow teammates like many others who had served as chairman before him, making him the first chairman in history who basically never had to leave. The team just kind of was like, we're not going to be the JSA anymore.
Until the team disbanded because of the 1 year break after Infinite Crisis.
Yes. Mr. Terrific remained a member of the reformed Justice Society of America, which popped up about 5 seconds later.
Yep, we had a relaunch new title.
Yep, and we were like, we're going to spell the whole name out now.
Yep.
And he even went on to resume his chairmanship from the last incarnation of the team in the pages of 52. But his leadership responsibilities in Checkmate around the same time eventually prompted him to relinquish control of the position to Power Girl. But Power Girl is pretty cool herself, so we are A-okay with the leader change that goes on there.
Well, let's relax here for a second. Unless you're going to tell us exactly who Checkmate are.
I was going to say, we are going to jump into his role in Checkmate in just a little bit.
Okay.
We're doing all the Justice Society, and then we're doing all the Checkmate stuff.
Okay, my bad.
Because it's a little confusing to try and tackle both of those concurrently.
Yeah.
We all know what the Justice Society is, but we don't all know what Checkmate is. Checkmate is a special chessboard unto itself. So during Infinite Crisis, Mr. Terrific is part of the team assembled by Batman for an attack on the Brother Eye satellite responsible for controlling the OMAX.
Do you know why?
No.
Because the satellite couldn't see him.
Oh, yeah, because he's undetectable to all technology. That was dumb. I'm really sorry about that. I have failed this lesson. You said that and it's like, oh, yeah. Duh. He, of course, plays a critical role. Oh, look, and it's like right here in my notes. As his invisibility to technology allows him to reach the satellite's propulsion system.
I actually read that book. That's why I knew that.
There you go. I read this book, too, a long time ago.
Are you sure?
I am. Mr. Terrific was not really on my radar.
Mr. Trivik is actually invisible to Ashley V. Robbins as well.
Apparently. Not when he's played by Echo Kellum. And he sent it crashing to Earth. That's the most important part. He crashed the satellite. Yep. Okay, let's just move on from this debacle. During this meeting, he meets and befriends another really cool African-American superhero, Black Lightning. And I'm just saying that if DC Comics were ever to publish a Mr. Terrific Black Lightning buddy cop book, I would totally buy it.
Call it Terrific Lightning.
Yes. Oh, my God. Copyright geeks. Yep. Lesson. That would be so dope. And then you can have Static show up and then all the other Milestone characters. It would be so great.
Terrific Lightning Shock.
Terrific Lightning Shock. Great. Then his next major appearance is in the 1 year later event that followed shortly after it that we just talked about. And as part of the 1 year later storyline, Michael Holt is still a member of the JSA, and he also became a part of the United Nations Security Council's intelligence agency, Checkmate. So now we're going to talk about Checkmate. And he holds the position of the White King's Bishop initially because they're all given chessboard colors and suits that they work within. That's the power structure of Checkmate.
Yeah, they're all based around chess members and stuff like that. And some of the other positions are filled by very famously by other people.
Yes. We're going to talk about a couple of those, but if you have some other people that you want to bring up, just kind of drop that knowledge.
Keep going, and we'll see.
So, like I said, initially he was the White King's Bishop, but when the previous White King, who was Alan Scott, Green Lantern, when he was forced to resign, Mr. Terrific becomes Checkmate's new White King, which is pretty much the most powerful person in the White Kingdom that you can be. It's really cool. But this unfortunately complicated his relationship with Sasha Bordeaux, who is Checkmate's Black Queen, because, hint, hint, they were romantically involved at the time.
Do you know who Sasha Bordeaux is?
Not terribly, because I've never read any Checkmate.
You know exactly who Sasha Bordeaux is, because Sasha Bordeaux was Bruce Wayne's bodyguard in Bruce Wayne Murderer.
Oh, you're right.
Yes. And then when she gets sent to prison, Checkmate contacts her and offers to fake her death to get her out of prison.
That's right.
And that's how she joins Checkmate.
Oh, you have taught me something today.
But by this point, by the time of this series, the Checkmate solo series that you've talked about, she has been infected by the OMAC technology from Infinite Crisis. So she's sort of half robot, half human. So she's a little weird.
She's a complicated character.
Yeah. But this Checkmate series is written by Greg Rucka.
It's very well regarded.
It's very dense, but
good dense?
Well, it's very dense because it's about politics, but it's also, I would say, one of the most, I would say, original series of DC for the last like 15 years.
High praise.
You have to know who everybody is, basically.
Do you have to know DC continuity at the time?
A little bit, yeah. Because okay. They do mention some characters and they don't really explain them. So there you go.
Have Wikipedia handy.
Yep.
So Mr. Drivick had also given up his chairman position in the JSA at the time, which had been taken over by Power Girl that we talked about just a few minutes ago. He had also established an ill-defined mentorship with Firestorm during this time over the missing year. And the specifics of their meeting has never been documented, and their friendship doesn't end very well, which is kind of unfortunate because I think these are two characters that would be great paired up together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have a little hope that maybe in a crossover we'll see them get to talk in the CW universe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to point out to everybody that another member of the Checkmate Council, Amanda Waller, was a White Queen.
Yes, she was.
You already mentioned Alan Scott. King Faraday was the White Queen's bishop. That is a very famous old school DC character.
Nice.
Fire from the Justice League International was the Black King's knight.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Count Vertigo was the White Queen's knight.
Boo.
The August General in Iron, he is a character from the Great Ten, also a Grant Morrison character. He was the Black King's bishop. Rocket Red was the White Queen's knight.
Also of the JLI.
The JLI. And very famously, Snapper Carr was a pawn.
Oh, that's so sad, but so appropriate. Yeah. Michael Holt is forced to face his issues with faith once again when the JSA confront Gog, a god of the second world.
Which we talked a lot about last week.
I was going to say, if you want to know more about that particular storyline, please go listen to the JSA lesson, because I'm not going to talk about it in that much depth. But it is a really, kind of like you said, dense, but very interesting storyline. Not only is Gog incapable of hearing Terrific due to his lack of faith, but during a trip to Earth 2 of the new multiverse, Michael Holt encounters his Earth 2 counterpart, who is now a devout believer after having a religious experience on the day his wife survived her accident. So on Earth 2, as with many characters, the Michael Holt, Mr. Terrific there, is the inverse of the character that we know from Earth 1. And during the final crisis of humanity, the war between Darkseid and the human world, Mr. Terrific, along with Cheetah and Snapper Carr, are left trapped. What was that again? One more time. Nice. Got to do it three times. Are left trapped in the ruins of Checkmate headquarters, unable to get past the brainwashed metahuman and caring for Sasha Bordeaux, who prefers using her OMAC programming to shut down her bodily functions rather than falling prey to the anti-life equation. So he's got a whole bunch of drama there, and Sasha's not helping. Forcefully waking up Sasha, thus condemning her, Michael Holt has no choice but to activate a new OMAC population programmed to obey him rather than Brother Eye, and to protect the last few humans against the new Justifiers. I think this is kind of an interesting story for him, because you're having in microcosm, Michael Holt is losing the second most important woman in his life, the second really important romantic figure in his life, to the OMACs.
Yep.
So he kind of can't catch a break.
Not really.
No. And he winds up going back to the Justice Society of America, and more bad stuff happens.
No.
Because you can't be a superhero and not suffer. It's kind of like being Chief O'Brien.
That's right.
In the Justice Society of America Volume 3 series, Mr. Terrific takes over the research just as a low-level villain Tapeworm appears on the news, taking hostages and demanding that the Wildcat show himself. All-American Kid and King Chimera must remain in the Brownstone. Mr. Terrific retreats into his lab, and the rest of the team leaves to help Wildcat. All-American Kid goes into the lab and stabs Mr. Terrific in the back, pretending to have been mind-controlled. He literally gets stabbed in the back by one of his teammates.
Yep.
Justice Society members arrive back at headquarters to discover Mr. Terrific has been attacked, and Dr. Midnight tends to his wounds, hoping to save him. But as so often happens in comics, it's only a hope. And in the end, Mr. Terrific succumbs to his injuries, and Alan Scott reports to his teammates and the world that he has died. However, Alan Scott is able to use his power of the green flame to slow down time around Mr. Terrific's body in the hopes that he can be healed before brain death occurs. It's a really interesting way of basically putting him in cold storage.
Yeah.
But, you know, using cool comic book stuff. Michael Holt is restored to life because comics, by the magic of the new Dr. Fate, and he attacks All-American Kid, revealing that he is actually the teenage psychopath known as Kid Carnival, and he subdues him and puts him in jail because he's a good guy and doesn't murder people by going around and stabbing them in the back in their labs. For a short time during his recovery, Michael is forced to use a wheelchair, although he still finds time to upgrade Mr. America's whip. Who's Mr. America? Don't worry about it. It's basically just a thing that he does to pass some time. Also, interestingly enough, Mr. Terrific is the second major DC character to spend a significant amount of time in a wheelchair following Oracle. I just think that's really, really interesting.
Yep.
Then the New 52 happens. Jason, what's that old New 52?
The New 52 is where DC Comics decided to reboot their entire universe, and they did so by Barry Allen being like, I miss my mom! And he goes back and tries to save his mom. Doesn't quite work out. And when he tries to restore the timeline, everything's changed. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman have only been around for 5 years, and they're a lot younger. And basically, everything that happened before didn't happen.
That's right. So in September of 2011, Mr. Terrific received a self-titled ongoing series written by Eric Wallace and drawn by Roger Robinson as part of DC's New 52. He finally got a solo series. Michael Holt begins sporting a new costume that was, fun fact, designed by Cully Hamner. And he's also in
It's really not that different, though. It's just he doesn't wear the jacket.
Well, you're right, but it was different in the way that all New 52 costumes were different. They were different, but not that different for the most part. He's also in a relationship with Karen Starr, a.k.a. Power Girl. I kind of like that, and that's something that I would like to see more of when he makes his inevitable return to comics. However, on January 12th of 2012, DC Comics announced that they would be ending six of the lowest-selling New 52 titles in April, replacing them with six different titles in order to revamp the second wave. You can't really blame anyone. That's just good business. And Mr. Terrific was sadly canceled with issue 8 in April of 2012. The series ends with Mr. Terrific being displaced to a parallel universe where he continues to appear in the Earth 2 series.
Yep.
Now, this was not the first time Mr. Terrific had appeared on Earth 2, so I just want to talk a little bit about that right now. So between 2006 and 2011, so basically up until the New 52, an alternate version of Michael Holt from the New Earth 2 appeared in the DC Comics stories. We talked a little bit about that, about how his wife lived rather than passing away, so that brought him to a religious high, and he's very spiritual as opposed to the atheist scientist that we see on Earth 1. This version is also a college professor who has a religious experience after his wife was nearly killed. This version of Paula Holt, his lady, is merely left in a coma rather than dying immediately. So she's not like totally better, but she's not dead, which is definitely a step in the right direction. And while contemplating suicide, as you may remember from his origin at the start of this lesson, after spending 3 months trying unsuccessfully to find a cure for Paula, Michael Holt saves another man who is preparing to jump off the same bridge that he himself had planned to plunge from. And this takes him to he takes the man to a church, which is the nearest illuminated building. And the man he saves prays for him and saves him in that spiritual sense. It's actually a really nice moment. And after his wife regains consciousness the following day, coincidence? I think not. This version of Michael Holt went on to become a devout Christian. He helps the Power Girl of New Earth to return home, which is pretty cool. And when the Justice Society arrives on Earth 2, remember we talked about that? Professor Holt confronts his counterpart, Michael Holt, from New Earth. Professor Holt introduces the Justice Society to his wife, Paula, although New Earth Michael just introduces himself as Mr. Terrific, rather than revealing his true name because he doesn't know how that could affect Paula and whether or not that could send her spiraling into something horrible. And that's where we're at with Mr. Terrific.
Okay, but wait a minute. So everything you just said happened before the New 52?
On Earth 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that was actually not where we left him, but it was where we left him like 5-7
years
ago.
Well, yeah, it's where we're ending the lesson.
Okay. All right, because I would say like the last time I believe we've seen him in the comic books was in the Earth 2 World's End series.
It is, yes. But he's currently nowhere to be found in the DC Rebirth continuity. But that's really new, and I think there's a lot of cool places where he could show up.
Sure. Okay, I just had to clarify that because I was very confused because we went to the New 52 and then we backed
up. I'm sorry. I just thought that it would be better to segregate the Earth 2 stuff as much as possible from the main meat of the lesson. Mm. So, so let's move into recommended reading.
Yes, this is the section of the podcast where Ashley is going to recommend three books that you should read if you are terrific like Mr. Mr. Terrific. And you can go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. And you can find little Amazon widgets. Click on them. Go buy the books. Read. Enjoy terrific stories. And a little bit percentage of your purchase will come back to us. Help us keep the terrific My University going.
Heck yeah. So my first recommendation is kind of the obvious one. It is Mr. Terrific Volume 1 Mind Games. It is actually the only volume of the new 52 series.
Yep.
You can get it all in one nice volume. If you ever wanted to see Mr. Terrific on his own, being terrific and what he is all about, I would recommend picking that up. It is pretty easy to find. My second recommendation, of course, has to be the JSA Omnibus Volume 3. Now, I'm going to recommend that you pick up Volume 3 because this is the height of Mr. Terrific as the chairman. You get to see him in a leadership position. You get to see him being a mentor. You get to see what a fair human being he is. He's putting fair play into reality.
It also has that GOG storyline you're talking about.
It does have the GOG storyline, which is a very important moment for Michael Holt. Now, if you really like this JSA, you can definitely start with the first omnibus, but if you're going right for that terrific love, jumping in at Volume 3 is what I would recommend doing. And then my final recommendation is the Checkmate series that we talked about earlier by Greg Rucka, Volume 1, because this is a very different look at Michael Holt on a team. It is a much different type of comic book storytelling, but it is regarded as one of the smartest DC comics published to date.
And I believe those trades might be a little out of print.
They are a little out of print. You can find them.
Yeah, on Amazon, yeah.
You can find them on Amazon. You can usually find them for cover price.
Cool.
But they're definitely worth checking out. So those are all of my recommended readings.
Nice. So we're going to move into discussion where Professor Ashley is going to discuss things with us and we might get extra credit.
Yes. So, Jason, I have a question about comics for you. First.
Okay. They're made of paper. Okay. They used to cost a dime.
Oh, why don't they cost a dime anymore?
Inflation.
Well, that's a hell of a
probably
thing.
Communism.
Probably. Well, we are in America. We just alienate all of our communist listeners.
Do we have communist listeners?
If you are a communist listener, please let us know on our social media.
Seriously, I'll shake your hand. I don't know if we had those.
I'm sure there's American communists. All right. So I wanted to know, do you think that Mr. Terrific should lead a comic series in DC Rebirth, or would you rather see him helming a new JSA book or a new Checkmate book?
So you're saying, should he headline a solo series, is what you're asking?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, because you just said series.
And
I think he probably should be in a series, but...
Because we do talk a lot about on this podcast that there are some characters that are designed to be supporting players. There are some characters that just function better on a team. And there are some characters that are highlighted better in a solo adventure.
True. But I also do believe that every character can work in a solo series with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If you give that character a purpose, because we kind of talked about that with another character very recently. I don't know. I don't think Mr. Terrific should have his own solo series. I really don't, because we just saw it.
Yeah.
And it didn't work very well. It's fine. It's a fine read. It's just not...
It's solid.
It's solid, but there's nothing... Once you hit issue 8, you're kind of like, yeah, I'm done with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I always had a hard time with Mr. Terrific as part of Checkmate.
How come?
He seemed out of place.
Okay.
He really did. Him and Alan Scott seemed really out of place in that book. And it kind of seemed like they were two-time in the JSA at the same time.
Well, because they were both members at the time.
They were kind of cheating, is what I say. I think he should just be part of Justice Society.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he should lead the Justice Society?
Oh, I don't care if he leads it or not. The JSA like has such a revolving leadership team role, you want to say. So I don't mind if he's not the leader because I know it'll just come around to him anyway. So I don't really mind that at all. I'm more excited for this Mr. Terrific Black Lightning book that we set up.
Right, because I've been ruminating on that since I read that and then have been thinking about it. And the cool thing about Black Lightning is he's also a very well-educated, like, erudite character. So, like, not only are they both really cool superheroes, but I would love the team-up book to be them being science bros. Like, the thing that everybody loves about the dynamic between Tony Stark and Bruce Banner in the Marvel movies. Like, I would love to see them do that and then also, like, go and punch people in the face.
We haven't really seen Black Lightning that much in the New 52. I can't even remember the last time we saw him in continuity.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But here you go. Terrific Lightning. You know where they rent their laboratory space out of?
Star Labs?
Nope. Steelworks in Metropolis.
Oh, yes!
Ran by John Henry Irons.
Oh, that would be so cool.
And then you have Natasha Irons get a crush on Michael Holt.
That'd be so great. Yep. I would love that. Both characters that are currently in the comics continuity. So it'd be a really great way to like integrate them.
Yep. And then you have the perfect way to introduce Black Lightning and Mr. Terrific back into DC Rebirth, because then you have Lana Lang, Electric Superwoman. Mm-hmm. Her powers are going crazy, electricity based and technology based.
Oh, dude.
And they both have to team up and solve her problem.
That's so cool. And then Black Lightning's daughter is like on the outsider sometimes.
Sure. Why not?
Thunder. She's really weird and doesn't wear much clothing. I think that would be a great way. I think he's going to be reintroduced because he's one of those characters that just sort of comes back around.
Yeah.
Like many comic book characters.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't remember if his character died during World's End.
I don't think so.
I can't remember.
I think he only died like that one time.
Well, because World's End is kind of forgettable. But Earth 2 Society is actually quite enjoyable. And I don't think I've seen him pop up in that book yet. I could be completely wrong. It's tough for me to remember specifics in that series.
Yeah. But I'd be fine if he popped up on Earth 2 as well.
Sure.
I'm fine if they want to like shunt all of the JSA characters over there, which they kind of did in the New 52.
Yeah, but I think they're going to reintroduce him back into the main Earth, because we saw Johnny Thunder in DC Rebirth number 1.
We did, and because as we keep bringing up, like they're all going to be appearing on television, and they tend to keep those characters in their like Earth 1 prime Earth continuity as well.
It'll be interesting to see if they let Mr. Terrific join the JSA, even though in this universe we already have a solo Mr. Terrific who's kind of separate from that.
You mean on the TV show?
No, in the comics.
Oh.
Because we had the New 52, yes. Mr. Terrific, who was not part of a JSA. There's no JSA in the New 52.
No, you're right.
So it'll be interesting to see.
But it counts and it doesn't count.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they create a Michael Holt.
Yeah.
Or if they go with the original Mr. Terrific, maybe. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they called him Curtis Holt to circumvent
the
fact that he like was not on the JSA.
Well,
he should be called Michael Curtis Holt.
Well, watch it. No. Watch him be called Curtis Holt. And then if we meet the New 52 Mr. Terrific, you'll find out that he's the grandson.
Oh, yeah, of Michael?
Yeah.
I could live with that.
Yeah.
I could be okay with that.
No, it would be like Michael's the grandson of Curtis.
Oh,
is what they'll do. They'll flip it.
Oh, I see.
Because Michael Holt is already in the New 52.
Yeah. Okay.
So
if we
meet another Mr. Terrific, he'll be probably called Curtis.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, I'll be fine with that.
That means he gets a costume redesign.
Sure. Any other discussion topics?
No, I'm going to table the rest of my questions for our Geek History Lesson Extra.
Cool. So let's move on into Teaching Tweet. We're in less than 140 characters, like social media, Twitter, with a little bird who goes tweet, tweet. Ashley will tell us everything we need to know about Mr. Terrific.
Michael Holt. He sure is terrific in mind, body, and spirit. Hashtag terrific for chairman with the number 4.
Okay, cool.
I'm going like Alexia Dye with my hashtags.
Any final thoughts on Mr. Terrific?
Mr. Terrific more than exceeded my expectation on how interesting a character he was. I learned a lot in this lesson, and I have fallen further in love with this character.
Cool. All right. Well, you can also fall further in love with Geek History Lesson if you go to iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, also Google Play Music, and you make sure that you subscribe and leave us a review on all those awesome platforms, because it helps other listeners find us. And if you want to suggest other lessons, like maybe Black Lightning, maybe Static Shock,
dude,
maybe John Henry Iron Steel, one of my favorites. You can do that where, Ashley?
You can do that at geekhistorylesson.com or facebook.com/geekhistorylesson. There's a bunch of ways to contact us in both of those places.
That's right. And you can complain to us about our treatment of Michael Holt on Twitter at Jawin for me, Jawiin, and at Ashley V. Robinson for Ashley. And also, don't forget to follow us over on youtube.com/Jawin, Jawiin, because we make lots of cool videos and Ashley and I show up in them and we discuss things.
Yeah.
So that is it for the Geek History Lesson on Mr. Terrific. I am Jason Not-So-Terrific Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Terrific Professor Ashley, would you please close out this terrific lesson terrifically?
Terrific class, you are now terrifically dismissed.